The Athletic.
Totally Football Show, Europe. Today, Messi still got it. Barcelona, good again. Napoli, could they? Plus, exploring UEFA's draws. What awaits for Leicester Rangers and West Ham in the last 16s? It's all coming up in this Totally Football Show in association with Paddy Power. Listener, thank you for joining us on another Totally Football Show European edition. It is Tuesday, the 1st of March. I'm joined by Alvaro Romeo. Kalispera, Alvaro, all the way from Greece today.
Kalispera, James. Yes, we took a little bit of a break here with the family. But yeah,
yes.
It's very nice in here, I have to say.
Well, indeed so. Indeed so. James Horncastle is not taking a break. He's right there at the white hot coal face of football journalism. All right, James.
That's right. James Richardson. That's absolutely right.
Breaking news, perhaps. We'll come to you very shortly on that. Julien Laurent also here. Hey, Jules.
Bonjour.
Hey. And hello to you, listener. Yeah, James, do you think it's going to be a big week for European Super League rebel clubs who still harbour plans to drop that baby back on us again?
Perhaps. I've got Andrea Agnelli speaking on Thursday on the same ticket as Alexander Seferin, the UEFA president. So let's see what Mr. Agnelli has got prepared at that FT business conference. Some speculation that it's a new Super League proposal.
That would be extraordinary, wouldn't it? I'm not quite sure how and why this might be the moment, but yeah. There you go. We'll look out for that. Tell you what, instead of worrying about what might happen later in the week, let's have a quick think about what did happen over the weekend with some very much football moments of the weekend in association with Paddy Power. Alvaro.
Well, the moment of the weekend is what Jeremy Pino did on Sunday, because he scored 4 goals against Espanyol.
Y ahora conta Jeremy que farà el quart, y farà el quart. Supera Diego López y fa el quart. Aquest nano internacional no el paran avui, no. Marca el 4-0 Jeremy Pino.
He's one of the youngest ever players in La Liga to score that many goals, because he's only 19 years old, and he managed to do that in a fantastic game in which he's shown that he's not only a skillful player who can play as a winger, but also he's capable of being at the right place in the right time. He scored 4 goals, and for me, he's the man of the weekend. The last one to score 4 goals being so young was Santi Mina 6 years ago. I was very surprised that, that happened not so long ago. But yes, Jeremy Pino is the man of the weekend in Spain.
Extraordinary. He'd never scored more than 1 goal in a game before this, and he gets 4 in one go.
Precisely. And he's not even a striker. That's the thing, that he's not a very good scorer, or he hasn't been yet, even though now suddenly he has revealed this ability of him. So yes, I mean, this is going to booster his confidence a lot, because he didn't start against Juventus the other day, and many wonder why.
All right. Well, Juventus coming up for Villarreal. Indeed, in the Champions League. All right, James Horncastle, what's your moment of the weekend?
Well, I think it has to be Luciano Spalletti, no? At the end of that game against Lazio, which you saw Napoli win late, and Spalletti say afterwards, you know, just would like to highlight the fact that, you know, all of you say, you're all breaking the balls of this Napoli team, say we've got no character, no resilience. Now I'd like to know what they want to say, because Napoli showed strength of character in winning and again kind of, I suppose, made their case once more as a legitimate title contender in Serie A.
All right, level now on points at the top of Serie A with Milan, who they face next Sunday night. Oh my word. Julien, what's been your highlight of the weekend?
It has to be Kylian Mbappe's cross from the outside of his right foot against Saint-Etienne on Saturday for Danilo Pereira. A Quaresma-esque trivela, if you want, which was absolutely beautiful. So,
but wasn't Messi's assist for Mbappe better? Because it was so absurd. It was like eight-dimensional chess, 3 steps in the future type.
So you see, I prefer the second assist to the first one that you mentioned, right, which is a similar one to the one he gave to Neymar the weekend before against Nantes, where the ball goes through two different lines of players and three or four different players in a move, like, you're right that you need to have supervision to see it. But I prefer the other one, where that's the first one, the one you're talking about. The second one, where he dribbles past two people literally in no space whatsoever before laying it out to Mbappe. So this is great, but I still prefer the outside of the right foot cross.
Jules, what was his player rating in L'Equipe?
9 out of 10.
Nine?
Yeah, nine? They got carried away again, I think, because he was amazing, L'Equipe. Kylian, but 9 is a lot.
Yeah, but what about Messi?
7.
Is that a season high?
I think he might have had an 8 before, but yeah, that was pretty high for their standards when judging him.
Mm. Okay. All right then. XO, it sounds like we've got a lot to talk about. Let's begin in Spain.
The Totally Football Show European Edition's Moment of the Weekend, brought to you by Paddy Power. If one leg of your 4+ fold ACCA lets you down, get a free bet on all football leagues and all markets. Max free bet £10, minimum odds 1-5 per leg. Online exclusive, no shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Cuidado, Munir, que tiene opción. Le va a pegar, Munir, le pega. Gol, 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 gol. El segundo del Sevilla de Munir.
All right, Alvaro, let's talk La Liga. First of all, this is a big season for football in Seville. The Europa League final is going to be at the Sánchez-Pizjuán. Both Sevillan sides could be in it. Wouldn't it be amazing if they ended up against each other? But in the meantime, they faced each other there this weekend in El Gran Derby. How did it go?
Sevilla won it. Sevilla deserved to win it. Sevilla was better, I will say, or at least they capitalized what they had, which wasn't a lot, because I think that there were only 5 shots on target between Sevilla and Betis, 3 for Sevilla, 2 for Betis, but they capitalized, and it was a very important game for Sevilla, especially because, you know, Sevilla and Betis had had like a really controversial game in the cup, when there was something thrown at Joan Jordan and all that happened afterwards. So I think that it was important for Sevilla to win, to show that they are still the best team of the city, and Lopetegui celebrated in such a fashion. I think that he really wanted to win this game. I think that normally, or he has never lost any Sevilla derby. He's been successful in all of them, and the truth is that both teams were depleted, but both teams show that even being depleted, they can put a lot of good players on the pitch, and one of them that doesn't play a lot, like Munir, scored one of the goals. The other one was scored by Ivan Rakitic. And Canales, just when the game was about to finish in the aggregate of the second half, he scored the last goals. But I think that the most important thing in this game was to see that there were two styles in total contrast. I mean, Sevilla is definitely more solid. Sevilla is a little bit more cautious, and Betis is rather happy. In midfield, they try to play the ball very quickly to the strikers, and Sevilla's style impose itself this time, and it is a really big step for Sevilla, because Real Madrid won 24 hours before against Rayo Vallecano at Vallecas, and if Sevilla wants to win La Liga title, they had to win El Gran Derby, and they did it.
Okay, 6 points behind Real Madrid still, as you mentioned, after their 1-0 victory away at Vallecano. The Europa League action the Thursday before had seen Sevilla win away at Dinamo Zagreb. Betis emerged from their clash from Zenit in rather unusual circumstances. There was some controversy around this game because this was Thursday night. The Russian invasion of Ukraine only just got underway, and the notion of playing a Russian side as if everything was normal was, I think, a strange one for most people to accept. And you kind of had the impression, the way that game finished, Zenit scored what looked like a goal which was going to force extra time. The referee goes to the sideline monitor and looks as though he gets a suggestion to basically find some way of not allowing the goal so they could just remove Zenit from the competition. Was there much comment about that?
No, not really. I think there was much more comment about the fact that Betis was playing against the Russian side. Also, I think that it was still early doors, because the Champions League final wasn't moved from St. Petersburg to Paris until Friday. So it was certainly maybe too early to make a decision about this game. We all know now that they are making decisions this week, but last week it was still a little bit early perhaps. And probably what what Betis is more happy about is about having qualified without any kind of big problem against Zenit. Mm. That was the most important thing. And yeah, I think that was the biggest story, that Betis qualified for the next stage of the tournament.
Absolutely. Okay, well, Betis are in the draw for the last 16, or rather, are in the last 16, along with Sevilla and Barcelona, who we'll touch on in a second or two, because they've been having quite the run of results under Xavi. Let's see who everyone's got. Sevilla, Alvaro, have got West Ham. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that Sevilla is a better team than West Ham United, even this season. I think that Sevilla knows how to deal with this tires as well, and at the same time the team has been depleted progressively as the games went by. Sevilla has been involved, like West Ham United, in two or three competitions this season, and they are losing a lot of players. I mean, for the game against Betis, they didn't have Jules Koundé or Lucas Ocampos, but that was due to red cards. But they lost Papu Gómez and Diego Carlos in El Gran Derby. Both mm-hmm. had to be replaced during the game. Then it's still to be confirmed whether Martial or Montiel will be playing for Sevilla against West Ham United. So I think the season is presenting a number of challenges for Sevilla. The good thing for them is that when the season started, we all said that they had pretty much two players for each position. So now is the time for Lopetegui to stretch the squad, to use all of it, to make the most of it. And I think Sevilla comes slightly as favorite for this game because they are very clever and very astute when it comes to playing in small margins, small game results as well. I think that they know how to deal with that. And I believe that they will be capable of containing West Ham United if West Ham wants to make this game physical and if they want to make this game quick. I think Sevilla, they are masters of doing this. But of course, this West Ham United has proven in Europe that they have been capable so far of pretty much beating every single opponent. But Sevilla is probably the toughest nut they have had to crack so far.
They have an extraordinary competition record. Six-time winners, and all of those have come in the last 15 years. I know you see West Ham a lot, Alvaro. Who do you think is the favourite?
I think Sevilla is. I did like what West Ham did from August until December. In 2022, I think that West Ham United has dropped the level a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. Maybe they are not playing with the energy that they were playing at the beginning of the season. I think that the good thing for West Ham United is that as some players, they are playing worse, some others are stepping up. And for example, Jarrod Bowen is probably one of the best examples of it. I think that Antonio's level has gone down a little bit, and then some other players, they are playing better, so they are compensating a little bit the lacks. But all things considered, I think Sevilla is better. At home, they've been really good this season, and away from home, they've been tremendously good. I think they have conceded only 7 away goals in La Liga this season, which tells you the story. They have been phenomenal when it came to shutting the door. And I think that Lopetegui and the players know that this is a great chance for them. The final is not only in Sevilla, but Sevilla has already won it with Lopetegui, beating the likes of Manchester United, beating the likes of Inter Milan. So, you know, if you check Sevilla's past, and that past didn't happen a long time ago, Sevilla shown that they are capable of dealing with this kind of scenario. So that's why I'm saying Sevilla is the favourite, but I don't want to take away anything from West Ham United. I think that this season they've been phenomenal.
All right. Betis, meantime, are going to be facing Eintracht Frankfurt, currently sitting 10th in the Bundesliga. Barcelona, the other Spanish side in this competition, have Galatasaray, which means Galatasaray should be quite concerned because Barcelona are on an incredible run of form. A week ago, they beat Valencia in the kind of derby 4-1. They then went to Napoli, who have the best defensive record in Serie A, and beat them 4-2 Thursday night. This weekend, they were up against your lot, Athletic Club de Bilbao, have also got a pretty good defensive record, and beat them 4-0. Alvaro, Aubameyang's got 5 goals in 3 games. What's going on?
Because Aubameyang is a very good striker, and he's a very good scorer. And whenever he's motivated, he's capable of scoring goals any time. And Barcelona is attacking a lot. Barcelona has really good players who can supply the ball to you. I'm talking about Gavi, I'm talking about Pedri, I'm talking about Frenkie de Jong, even Busquets, Dembélé, Adama Traoré. Aubameyang has been the beneficiary of that. On top of that, he seems to be motivated. He knows that this is a good chance for him to shine again, because for the last year he has been fading down a little bit, and the signing has been so clever, because Barcelona was missing quality up front. This season they had to play with so many players from the academy, because Memphis, Luke de Jong, and many more, they had injuries, maybe they underperform as well, and suddenly you bring a guy who is, yes, 32 years old, but still, he's got the know-how, and he's making the difference for Barcelona. But I would say that generally speaking, the club in every line of the pitch is improving, because the defense is getting better. They got a clean sheet against Athletic Club Bilbao, which is already something. Then in midfield, the reappearance or the return of Pedri has been phenomenal. Today I was checking on Twitter and I saw Iniesta as trending topic, and I was like, why is this a trending topic? Why Iniesta is a trending topic in 2022? It's because they are he's having comparisons with Pedri. Xavi compared Iniesta and Pedri yesterday in the press conference after the game. And then up front, as I said before, Ferran Torres, well, maybe he's not scoring a lot, but he's a quality player. Adama Traoré with his tricks on the right, and Aubameyang with his goals, well, they are making Barcelona a much better proposition, and they are winning the high profile games again. They went to Valencia, they beat them, they went to Napoli, the team that has conceded less goals in Serie A, at least until last week, and they beat Napoli as well. And now they beat Athletic Club Bilbao, and I know that my team were rotating, thinking about the Cup semi-final, and Íñigo Martínez, who is our best defender, wasn't on the pitch and all that. But still, scoring four against Athletic is not easy, and also not losing the patience when you have scored only one, but for some reason you cannot score the second even though you are trying. It took a long time to Barcelona to find the second goal, but once they did it, they scored the third and the fourth very quickly.
James, you saw Barcelona against Napoli. How impressed were you?
Very. I thought the intervention that they made in the January transfer window really kind of came to the fore in, well, both games, really, because in the first leg, Ferran Torres should have put it far out of sight for Barcelona. And then you look at that first goal that they scored. It's all about the pace that they had from a Napoli corner kick with Traoré and Aubameyang as well. But they were able to dominate in their opponent's half in a way that... yeah, the great Barcelona sides of old have been able to do. So, yeah, it feels like this Barcelona team has come on leaps and bounds, really, in the last few weeks. You know, I mean, much has been made about what Juventus did in the January transfer window, signing Vlahovic, Zakaria, and that sort of thing, and how well Vlahovic has hit the ground running. But, I mean, it looks like Barcelona's January transfer window has been the best in Europe, which is surprising, you know, in light of their ability to spend and ability to attract and move things around to get these players in. But so far, it seems to be working very well.
Yeah, one of the players they wanted to get rid of but didn't, Ousmane Dembélé, scoring against Athletic Bilbao. What a goal that was.
Yeah. But Jules, I remember Jules saying on EFS back in the day that Ousmane Dembélé, he couldn't decide which foot to use to shoot a penalty.
That's
and
right.
His 32 goals for Barcelona, 16 with his left, 16 with his right. Wow. I love that.
All right.
4 weeks ago, we were talking about Barcelona's financial crisis. 3 weeks ago, we were mentioning that Barcelona's CEO had resigned. Now everything is going well on the pitch. I'm sure that nothing or not everything is perfect in the board, but there is no reason to talk about that, because the game is playing out so well for Barcelona. They are scoring so many goals, 12 in the last 3 games, that now the conversation has switched. And I think that this is very important for Barcelona too, to gather and to get the optimism from what is happening on the pitch. And the truth is that lately many things are happening. Barcelona has bought a lot of speed as well, because Aubameyang, Adama Traoré, Ferran are bringing something that Barcelona hasn't had for many years. Men who want the ball on the space, not on their feet. And the team has changed completely. And then the youngsters, Nico, Gavi, Pedri, Araujo, I would say, they deserve a statue in the Camp Nou, because in the worst possible conditions, when the team was falling apart, they step up and they gave Barcelona many points. And that's the reason why Barcelona is fourth now, not only because they bought Aubameyang, because the likes of Nico and Gavi, they were working a lot to make sure that the club didn't lose it completely. So really, it's been a really good comeback by Barcelona. I don't know how far it's going to get them. And I think that is coming a little bit too late, because Real Madrid is still 15 points away. But this season finally looks like a rebirth for Barcelona, not like last season or the season before.
Right now, they're the best team left in the Super League, without any doubt.
Just 1 point now behind Real Betis, who lie third. Right, the rest of those Europa League last 16 ties, I know you want to know. RB Leipzig did have Spartak Moscow, but what we're hearing, I think, on this Monday afternoon as we record this is that all Russian sides are going to be out of all competitions. Leipzig, in the meantime, 1-0 winners this weekend over Bochum, courtesy of Christopher Nkunku. Elsewhere, a couple of French sides, Jules, Monaco and Lyon. Monaco are going to be taking on Braga. Lyon face Porto. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's a big one, the Porto-Lyon one. More than Braga-Monaco, even if we saw Braga on the goal show on BT playing really good football and going through on penalties against Sheriff. But I think the Porto-Lyon one has to be one of the most exciting ties because the two teams are very talented. Lyon have been too many crises or a crisis. Porto are doing really well in their league. So I think Porto have to be favourite, slight favourite. But Lyon, if they click with Peter Bosz, it can be fantastic as well. It should be fantastic, really. So I think we can look forward to two really, really good games.
Rangers, who saw of Borussia Dortmund in the knockout playoff, will get Red Star Belgrade, managed by Dejan Stankovic. All right. Oh, they won. They had the derby this weekend. Sunday it was, against Partizan Belgrade. And they won 2-0. They're within 2 points of the lead. That's top information for you, Rangers fans. The other tie from the last 16 is Atalanta against Bayer Leverkusen. Atalanta are going to be playing a little bit later on, James. So it's kind of hard to say too much about them. But yeah, that's a big draw.
It is. It's a winnable draw, even though Leverkusen are doing well in the Bundesliga. They're currently third. They've won 5 of their last 6 games. And doing that without their top scorer, Patrick Schick, who, of course, knows Italy, knows Serie A very well from his time with Sampdoria and his time with AS Roma. So I think it could be a fun game, just because of the talent that Leverkusen have got available to them. Have to see if Atalanta are able to recover some of the players that have been missing of late. I think that's going to be pretty difficult, but maybe Muriel will be back for that game. And, you know, I think, yeah, the Europa League is a competition that they can go far in. Having said that, their last appearance in the Europa League, if I'm not mistaken, they were eliminated at the hands of a German team, which was Borussia Dortmund. They were very unlucky on that night. The other occasion they were eliminated, it may have well have been the playoffs in Copenhagen when Andreas Cornelius missed a penalty and then was promptly sold the next day. But it's by the by. Their last trip to Germany was to play Dortmund. And I think if Ilicic had been a little bit luckier, they may have qualified. So yeah, exciting one to look out for.
Okay, Bayer Leverkusen this weekend winning 3-0 against Arminia Bielefeld. That's what I'm calling them. And Atalanta yet to play. They're going to be taking on Sampdoria Monday evening. Very good. Later on, if we have a mind, we might talk about the Europa Conference League last 16. Leicester in that. Up against one of Ligue 1's finest. But next up, Serie A.
So, Mr. Ranić, what's troubling you? Well, we've got a leak in the dressing room, Doctor. Right, and you want to find out who it is? No, I just can't find a good plumber.
Sometimes there's only so much you can do, but with Paddy Power, our offers are watertight. So this weekend, get money back as a free bet if one leg of your 4+4 bet builder lets you down. Paddy Power!
Pre-match online bet builder bets only. Min odds 1-5 per leg. Max free bet £10 per day. 7-day free bet expiry. Excludes enhanced match odds. Eligibility restrictions and T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. The Athletic is the only place you can read articles by Daniel Taylor, Amy Lawrence, Phil Hay, James Pearce, Ollie Kay, and the very best football writers around.
Quick word on the Bundesliga before we get on to Serie A. Bayern Munich maintaining, oh, actually extending their lead at the top because they beat Eintracht Frankfurt 1-0. Anybody catch this?
Yeah, I watched it all. Yeah, Leroy Sané, Kimmich with a lovely through ball. I still think there's issues in midfield, especially Sabitzer. I think they miss Goretzka a lot. Even that back three, still not completely convinced, not just me, but I think a lot of people. But they won in a game that was difficult for them, even if they created some really, really good chances. But because behind them is Dortmund, and Dortmund are so unreliable and so average at times, then they know that even if they're not at their best, they're going to win this title easily. Though it might be a bit more worrying for the Champions League in the quarterfinals. I think they will beat Salzburg now and go through. But in the quarterfinals, if they haven't really improved collectively or if Goretzka is not back, I think it could be difficult if they face one of the top teams.
I see. Dortmund followed up their exit at the hands of Rangers from the Europa League by drawing 1-1 at Augsburg, falling to 8 points behind Bayern Munich. Elsewhere, Schalke announced Monday that they would end their sponsorship with Gazprom. They'd already removed the Russian state-owned energy company's names from their jerseys before the weekend's draw at Karlsruhe. Schalke, of course, down in the Bundesliga 2. Good. Now, Serie A. Big Sunday night game. James Horncastle was Lazio against Napoli. The backdrop to this was that Friday night, both Milan and Inter, Napoli's title rivals, had failed to win yet again. So there was a chance for the partner pay to take top spot. What a last half hour we had in this game.
Elmas, il tocco per Insigne in area. Va quindi da Fabian, il tiro. Goal, 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 goal. Fabian, Fabian Ruiz. È un gol che vale oro. Questo vale oro. Il Napoli sale al comando della classifica. Lazio 1, Napoli 2.
It was a great game because for the first half, Lazio were the team that were on top. They just didn't take their chances. And it did look much like Monday, so what, more than a week ago, when Napoli had gone to play Cagliari in Sardinia and went behind, should have gone maybe 2-3 goals down, but Osimhen got them a point, and you thought, okay, here they go again. They're going to drop points here. They're not going to go top of the table. Pedro scored this extremely difficult equaliser for Laziali, which was like, you know, corner ball comes in, it's cleared, he volleys it past David Ospina. And you thought, ah, okay, maybe Lazio are going to win this now. And instead, no, because Fabian Ruiz had other ideas. And Fabian, who's come up big with them, scored a wonderful goal from outside the box, as he has done a few times so far this season. Plenty of swaz on it. Lots of bend to whip it round the defender.
It was an extraordinary goal.
Whip it round the goalkeeper and have it curl in just into the side netting. So inside netting. So yeah, massive result for Napoli. And I think one that really energizes them. And in comparison with Inter and Milan, who play in the cup tonight in the semi-final first leg, they're out of all cup competitions now. Napoli can purely focus on the league, the Scudetto, and they've got all their players back. Osimhen, obviously, you know, has had his surgery on his cheekbone, his eye socket. Koulibaly and Anguissa, they don't have African Cup of Nations to go and play. So, it sets it
up. Are you calling Napoli as favourites now, James?
Ooh.
Bit of a change there, eh?
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I'd love to see it. I'd love to be there were it to happen.
Wow.
Because it hasn't happened since 1990. Mm. It doesn't feel like this Napoli side is as good as the Maurizio Sarri team that came so close to winning it, in 2018. And it just feels kind of odd because it's a team that's come off missing out on the Champions League the last couple of years. It would be amazing for a hometown kid like Lorenzo Insigne to do it just as he's leaving. For Toronto, and it'd be amazing for Spalletti, who I just think is one of the great Italian coaches of his generation, who the only thing he's missing is a major league title. He won the league with Zenit in Russia, but you know, he's come so close before, particularly with Roma, and I think it would be fantastic. I still think Inter have got more depth, have got more talent than everyone who's currently in contention. With the Juventus maybe run them a little close in that respect, but it depends how draining these cup semi-finals, I suppose, will be for Inter and Milan, because Inter at least still have a Champions League game where they have to believe that they can maybe qualify in Anfield. But
Inter
believing
haven't
is one
scored
thing.
Haven't scored in three games, I think, now.
Still the top scorers in the league.
Yeah, but good luck at Anfield, Nerazzurri. Napoli, anyway, will be hosting Milan next weekend before the Champions League returns. And that's going to be absolutely huge because, as we mentioned, those two teams are level with Inter, 2 points behind, but with a game in hand. Midweek, Milan and Inter face off. So one of them will have to win this one. In the semi-final of the Coppa Italia, the other semi-final sees Fiorentina hosting Juventus and Dusan Vlahovic, who, of course, they just sold amid some bitterness to Juve back in January. Should be tasty, that. Fiorentina beaten this weekend by Sassuolo, while Juve were 3-2 winners at Empoli.
Yeah, I still think Fiorentina play better football than Juventus this season, even with the acquisition of Dusan Vlahovic. They're very aggressive, not nice to play against. They've got technical ability. So this is not going to be easy for Juve. And also, you can imagine what the reception is going to be like for Vlahovic, how disappointed the city was. They called him a little man.
They called him a little man. I hate that.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, he needed a security detail in what the final days of his time in Florence. Such was the depth of feeling. Exactly.
The tuberous is better, though, yeah.
Let's see. And then, of course, there's 6 weeks between legs because this is how Italy does cup semi-finals. So there we go.
Indeed. All right. Oh, you mentioned Napoli going last Monday to Cagliari and only getting a 1-1 draw. And even that, right at the death through Victor Osimhen. One of the remarkable things about this period of the season and this campaign in general has been the form of teams like Cagliari, teams that should be dead and buried by rights, or Salernitana even, or Spezia, who continue to come up with surprise results against the big sides. What do you think it is this season or of late that's making the teams with fewer advantages, fewer resources, play and match the bigger sides in Serie A?
Well, I don't think we've got a Benevento or a Crotone in the league this season, a whipping boy. And I predicted Salernitana would be that team this year. And they've been surprising in particularly, A, they're still in the league. Remember, they could have been thrown out on New Year's Day. Instead, they were taken over. The new owner brought in a new sporting director who bought an entire new team. They already had Frank Ribery, and brought in a coach who is a specialist in great escapes. You've got other clubs down the bottom who are American-owned, who have invested, where I think some of the more tired and stale Italian owners wouldn't have in the past. So Venezia did quite a lot of business in January. Spezia are well-run and have got, as you mentioned, big results against the likes of Milan and Napoli. And likewise, Samp have gone back to what worked for them in the past when they're a mid-table or top half side, which was hire Marco Giampaolo, get Quagliarella back in the team and see what happens. They've signed Sebastian Giovinco. We haven't seen anything from Giovinco yet. They signed Stefano Sensi as well, who I think Inter will miss. I think one of the things that is lacking at Inter at the moment is a bit of spark and invention from midfield, and maybe Sensi could have provided that. So you've got a range of factors. I mean, it also Udinese, a kind of really drab to watch now that De Paul's no longer there, but they are a hard team to play against. I think, you know, as with Fiorentino and Sassuolo, there's a lot of good, forward-thinking, brave managers down the bottom. However, one of them is also Walter Mazzarri. Mazzarri, to be fair to him, Cagliari have the second best record in Serie A in 2022, which is pretty mind-blowing. They backed Mazzarri, who was appointed in season, even though he did not initially turn it around. In fact, it looked like they might sack him again, and instead they got rid of the players in the January transfer window. They're like, Diego Godin should be getting his pension. He shouldn't be playing for Cagliari anymore. Right, yeah. Get out. Martin Caceres, get out. And they made some good signings, and all of a sudden that team is clicking. And so I think this is one of the things, you know, everyone is focusing on the title race and how three teams are definitely in it. Maybe a fourth team can get back into it. But I think one of the reasons why these teams are dropping points is because it's so open down the bottom and exciting down the bottom. So it's a sign of a good, healthy, competitive league, in my opinion.
Excellent. Quick chat for Gigi Buffon.
Gigi.
Who's just signed a new deal with Parma, which will see him play with the Serie B side, who hopefully won't be Serie B until then, until he's 46. 46. That's remarkable. Remember, he started when he was 17. That's monstrous. That's almost a 30-year career, he said, doing the sums in his head. Incredible. Parma currently in 10th place in Serie B, so they'll be second division for a while yet, it looks like. But anyway, best of luck to Gigi. Next up, Jules, tell us what's going on en France.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
We're sponsored for this episode of the Totally Football Show by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform helping you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, which is up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. Plus, you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And what's more, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 support is there to help your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Now, because you listen to the Totally Football Show, you can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/totally, all in lowercase. So go to shopify.com/totally to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/totally. You're listening to the Totally Football Show in association with Paddy Power. And with Paddy Power, if something doesn't go quite to plan, you can get your money back as a free bet if one leg of your bet builder lets you down. And that'll be good news for Antonio Conte when he finally realises he's the manager of Tottenham Hotspur and they don't ever win titles. Pre-match bet builders only, get your stake back as a free bet. Minimum 4 plus legs. Maximum free bet is £10. Excludes enhanced match odds. Online exclusives and T's and C's apply.
En faveur du Paris Saint-Germain, elle s'est allée à 2000 à l'heure avec un Lionel Messi qui a réalisé un véritable festival.
Jules, what's going on in France?
Well, I think we need to talk about Kylian Mbappé, who is definitely the best player in the world right now. There's no, I can take any argument, any names you want to throw at me. No one is better than him right now. Jérôme Roten, the former PSG player who's now a pundit on the French radio and television for RMC, said that. According to his information, there used to be 99% chances that Mbappé would leave PSG to go to Real Madrid in the summer. Now, that's gone down to 65%.
65?
Yeah.
And what's behind that change?
Well, I don't know if really that's the truth to start with. Okay. I think he's still likely to go, but he says... It's a rotten source. Although he knows really well the club and the Mbappé family. There's the records, of course, because by scoring the two goals he did on Saturday, he's now level with Zlatan Ibrahimovic with 156 goals for PSG. And there's obviously only Edinson Cavani ahead of them both now. So Ibra will never catch Cavani up. But Mbappe could if he stayed another season. He's only 44 goals away. He's not going to score 44 goals between now and the end of the season. So if he wanted, if that was an objective for him to beat that record, he would have to stay next season. After the game on Saturday, we asked him about it. He said, you know, it means a lot to become the PSG top goal scorer of all time. So let's see what happens. The famous, you know, let's see what happens, which a lot of players have used before and then left the club. So we will have to see. I think there's, we've said it before, but there's the feeling that he is the big boss in that team, and which is, he's always wanted that. And I think he likes it a lot. The relationship with the fans is pretty special now. It was not always the case, but it is now. So maybe there's a chance. I still think it's more likely than not that he will leave to go to Real Madrid.
Ah. The scoreline looked good against Saint-Étienne, 3-1. Were there still issues about the way Paris Saint-Germain approached the game, Saint-Étienne taking the lead?
Yeah, because of a mistake of Danilo Pereira. But I thought they played well. Poch took the blame for the slow start and said that he didn't really communicate well to the players what he wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. And once they conceded that goal, then after that, they were just one team on the pitch. They could have scored more goals. Messi was outstanding, as we said at the start, and Mbappé as well. And it was good to see. Mbappé is suspended now for the game at Nice next weekend. So his next game will be the Champions League second leg at the Bernabeu for the first time of his career against Real Madrid.
Tactical yellow, Jules?
No. I think that was not on purpose. But it's a good thing that he's going to rest a little bit as long as the magic doesn't go away. But yeah, no, it was good for PSG. It was really good. Despite Verratti being suspended, Paredes being injured, it was still a decent performance. Hakimi wasn't there either, so it was pretty good.
Very good, Jules. So what else would you like to tell us about from Ligue 1?
The nightmare end of the Monaco game, because they were chasing a top three finish. They still are, to be fair. And this was a good opportunity at home against Reims. And they were 1-0 up, cruising. And then in the 84th minute, Kevin Volland scores a non-goal. And then Jean Lucas gets sent off. And then they concede the second goal to lose somehow 2-1 against a depleted Reims team, which is really terrible. Not just for chasing that top three finish, but also overall, psychologically, everything. It was a disastrous end of the game. And I think Philippe Clément is struggling a little bit with this team and these players.
All right. What about Rennes and their 4-2 victory over Montpellier? I mentioned them because not only are they now knocking on the doors of the Champions League places themselves, but they're also featuring in the Europa Conference League last 16 against Leicester. Oof.
Yeah, that's a really good, really, really good tie. They've been scoring for fun this season. I think this is the most goal they scored since the 56th season. Really free-flowing football. And of course, that means they concede chances at times as well, of course, and they conceded 2 goals against Montpellier and maybe could have been a little bit more. But they're so good going forward. They have 2 very attacking fullbacks, Inamari Traoré and Bieling on the other side. It's just great to watch. I think Leicester will be favourite and should be favourite. But the way Leicester have been playing and defending, most importantly in the Premier League, they should be very, very worried about this Rennes team who will have nothing to lose, nothing to play for. Like, as in, nothing to lose in the sense, no pressure to continue because it's Leicester and it's a Premier League side. So they will have not much pressure compared to Leicester. And I think Rennes can definitely cause a big upset. And go through. So it'd be fascinating to watch.
Okay, good news. Also in that last 16 of the Europa Conference League, Marseille taking on FC Basel. PAOK, from down the road from where you are, Alvaro, have got Ghent. Vitesse of Holland, of Arnhem, have Roma. PSV, also of the Netherlands, are taking on Copenhagen. Slavia Prague got Lens. Bodo Glimt, the incredible Bodo Glimt, will take on Alkmaar, and Partizan Belgrade have Feyenoord. Anything we should know about those ties before we wrap it up for this week?
I would like to know what's happening to Marseille. Maybe Jules can let us know, because you know, they were the only ones who were actually chasing, kind of, a PSG, and they are crumbling. And they got 1 point in the last couple of games, and that is very disappointing.
Yeah, very disappointing against Trois, considering the draw, as you said, in the last minute. They can't control games like they used to. There's clearly a big problem between Milik and Payet in the sense that they don't seem to be able to play well together. So you can start them both and one play better than the other. or you start just one, and this one has to be Payet. Really, you can't drop him. But then that means Milik, who is technically your best striker, one of your best players, is sat on the bench where he's not happy and whinging a lot. So it's a tricky one. But Sunday was they've been very inconsistent, winning and then losing, or drawing, winning, drawing, losing, etc., etc. And I think it shows a lack of control. I think is a good word for Sampaoli, who's even himself struggling to pick the right teams every time and get the tactics right as well. And also, I think they are a bit tired. They are a bit tired because of the way they play, and because I think they're a bit limited in talent once you go outside of the strongest 11.
All right. Well, Marseille will be trying their luck against Basel. That'll be in the course of next week as the European competitions return. Of course, on Monday, we'll be previewing all of those fixtures and much more besides. But that's where we come to the end of today's Totally Football Show Europe edition. So many, many thanks to James Horncastle, Julian Aron and Alvaro Romeo, producer Charlie, and you, listener, for bringing your ears to this audio party. Thursday, there's a regular Totally Football Show. Perhaps you'll join us for that. Otherwise, we'll see you in a week's time. From all of us here, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Listen ad-free on the Athletic app and discover bonus content by following the Athletic UK Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts. Find out the very latest subscription offers at theathletic.com/totally. The Totally Football Show is an Athletic Media Company production and sponsored by Paddy Power.
The Athletic.